Hey, parents. Welcome back to Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. We're your host, Mark Struthers, a certified financial planner, a chartered financial analyst, and founder of Sona Wealth, helps you balance preparing for college and retirement. Let's continue our college funding journey.
Welcome, parents. Welcome to another episode of Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College, where we help you down your college funding journey with a fee-only financial plan perspective on planning for college and retirement. With clarity and confidence around your goals, you can live for today without worrying about tomorrow. Today, we are talking FAFSA. FAFSA stands for, as many of you know, as many of your parents know, and since most of our audience are probably doing late-stage college planning, that's what we late-stage college financial planning is what we specialize in at Sona Wealth and Sona Financial. But many of you know that FAFSA stands for the free, keyword free, application for federal student aid, and it's done every year. That's a common mistake. Some folks think it's just done once. It's done every year. And while that is a common mistake, actually that one is not on our top 10 list, and that's what we're doing today. So we're not going to go into the nuts and bolts of how FAFSA is calculated. That can actually be useful for a lot of folks, but there's very few of you who want to go into the exact calculation. So we did one podcast that did that, but based on feedback, there was a few that found it useful. We tried to split things up a little bit more and keep things a little more general, kind of FYIs. This top 10 list is designed for more of those who are filling out FAFSA for October 1st. October 1st is the first day that you could fill it out. And these are top 10 mistakes that parents and or students make in filling out FAFSA. Well, a little commentary to each, but we'll keep it short. Hopefully we'll keep this well under 10 minutes. 5 minutes is probably, I like to talk too much. So 5 minutes, we'll keep it somewhere between 7 and 10. So number 10 of the top 10 mistakes people make in filling out FAFSA, putting parents' numbers in the student fields or student numbers in the parents' field. Make sure you know whose numbers are you supposed to have. Who's supposed to be filling it out? What info are they looking for? Number 9, understand how divorced parents file. And that could be changing with the new FAFSA rules, but knowing how divorced parents fill out FAFSA is critical, knowing that in advance. So you should do a little prep time. Get prepared. Get FAFSA in as soon as you can, but try to set aside some time just to prep. Number 8, not having info ready, like legal name, social security number, financial information. That's related to number 9. And there'll be a list attached of info you need. But try to gather some of those docs. FAFSA is very, very income heavy, income weighted. The advantage of the online FAFSA, the newer FAFSA, is using the direct IRS tool. That is extremely helpful. That can streamline things. Remember, it looks at incomes from 2 years prior of the year you're filling out. So if you're applying for the 2022-2023 school year, which this October 1st FAFSA is for, they're going to be looking at 2020 taxes. That's why planning early is critical. If you are trying to move income around, trying to maximize FAFSA, or just it's good to make sure that you are looking at it ideally by 8th or 9th grade. FAFSA looks at assets the year you apply. So moving those around can be helpful, but also even just knowing by 8th or 9th grade where you might be pulling funds from, but certainly when you're talking about juniors to senior year, looking at what assets you have. Number 7, don't leave fields blank. Use a zero if needed. That's a common mistake. Number 6, and I kind of made a reference to this, not knowing what your out-of-pocket costs might be in advance. So ideally, before you even start filling out FAFSA, again, knowing what schools you're going for, what the cost might be, and at Sona we certainly have some tools and services that might be of help. But knowing in advance what your out-of-pocket costs might be, having those discussions about what the student might be responsible for, and knowing what accounts you might ask us access or resources. So 529 accounts, how might you ask, what are they? How much might you access those from? Are you using Roth IRAs, I-bonds, taxable accounts? Are you using debt? Are you using a home equity line, a HELOC or something like it? Number 5, waiting too long. A lot of need-based aid, and remember FAFSA's need-based aid is first come, first serve. So you get after it, If you can spend 5 hours on your fantasy football team each week, you can spend some time on FAFSA. Not including all the not including all the colleges the student might be applying for. I know it's tough. I have two teenagers to try to narrow down that search. I think my oldest is going to be very challenging to narrow down the schools he might want to go to. But ideally, having those in advance and putting them, designating them on the FAFSA form. There's no penalty for putting multiple schools there. Not knowing deadlines. Know the deadlines for the schools you're applying for federal, for state aid. Know those in advance. Get things in. Planning is about making better financial decisions, and the sooner you can do it, the sooner you can get that aid if you are eligible. Number two, I'm not sure it should be number two, but it's paying someone to do it. I am surprised at the number of people that pay a firm for the free application, which FAFSA is the first word in the FAFSA initialism. It's not really an acronym. Is free. So make sure there's a compelling reason to pay for this. In very few cases should parents be paying someone to fill out FAFSA for them. And the number one mistake parents make with FAFSA is not filling it out. Just do it. Get it done. I know if your income's high, the chance of aid is slim, but each year parents leave millions of dollars of aid on the table because they don't think they'll qualify. One thing we know for sure, that if you don't play, you can't win. If you're not going to apply, you won't get anything. And some schools, for merit-based aid, they want you to apply. They have to have the FAFSA on file. They want to make absolutely sure that you can't get need-based aid before you might get merit-based aid. So get it in there. October 1st, get it in there. If you don't have it done by Halloween, write yourself a note. If you don't have it done by Thanksgiving, scold yourself. Smack yourself in the face and say, get the FAFSA in. So thank you, parents. And I just like to remind folks that even if you are a skin-in-the-game parent, make sure you're talking with the spouse about your role. I have folks that say we're going to let the child take care of everything, even the FAFSA. The problem is kids don't always know how important it is, and also a lot of parents don't really recognize the fact that if the child does get in trouble, they're going to be there to help them. That could affect your retirement and your other goals. You know, you want to make sure that if you are saving for that cabin up in the Brainerd Lakes area, even though they've gotten really expensive, make sure that you are able to do that, that you aren't hit with a $40,000 tuition bill. So please, make sure you're making the best financial decisions possible, that you're leveraging all the resources you have, and that's the best thing for the student, and it's the best thing for the parent and their goals in retirement. Thank you, parents. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for sharing your college funding journey with me. Until next time.